Good to be with all of you this Sunday. Last week, we had the privilege of hearing Pastor Jemison speak to us about the peace of Jesus entering into our chaotic and anxious-filled lives. And if we're honest, we're not living in very peaceful times, are we? The constant wars, ongoing uncertainty, economic pressures, layoffs at work, another assassination attempt on the president this week, increasing illness in the lives of the people that we love, all of this just reminds us how much we need the peace of God. A peace that comes from above that we cannot explain. A peace that settles deep within our souls no matter the chaos. A peace that surpasses all understanding when life doesn't make sense. And a God-given peace that steadies our minds and anchors our hearts in this world. A peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. And when we have that peace, then we're able to step out and share that peace with others. Now today we continue our series through the Gospel of Matthew. So get your Bibles ready and we're going to continue in line with the 2026 theme of the Great Commission. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage today in Matthew 13, 1 to 23. It's a very familiar story, especially for those who grew up in the church. But even this familiar passage can challenge us to look at some very personal questions in our hearts this morning. Questions like, how are we posturing our hearts to receive the Word of God on a Sunday? What keeps His Word from taking root in our lives? What in our world, our worries, the distractions and priorities might be choking us from stepping into our God-given potential? These are not just good questions. They're necessary questions that we all have to answer if we want to follow Jesus the right way. Because at the end of the day, this passage that we're looking at, the parable of the sower from Matthew 13, teaches us something simple yet very powerful. That the way the condition of our heart shapes our spiritual growth, and our growth shapes our mission. Let me say that again. Our heart shapes our growth, and our growth shapes our mission. So as we walk through today's passage, we're not only just learning about the different types of soils from this story, we're going to examine our hearts this morning, and we're going to press those questions. And we're going to ask, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? Am I cultivating daily in my heart for God to move and lead me into my God-given purpose? These are the types of questions we'll be wrestling with this morning. So I've titled today's message, Cultivating the Soil of Our Hearts. Cultivating the Soil of Our Hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word, we pray that when we receive your word, your word will remain in us and that our hearts will be softened to the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, will you use us and will you use your own powerful word to speak into the very lives of your people so that, Lord, the word does not go away, but the word remains forever until we see you again. So, Lord, we pray that any distractions that we may have will be wiped away in your presence, that we're able to come and be refreshed again this Sunday morning by your word. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I was growing up at church, as a pastor's kid, one thing that I used to do on a Sunday afternoon was pester my dad about something. Once he finished the sermon, I would go home and tell my dad, "Dad, who's this sermon for? Was it for my uncle? For my auntie? Was it for that young adult or for the kids at the back?" I would pester my dad every Sunday sermon and ask him, "Who did you write this sermon for?" Now, I remember as a young boy and into my teenage years, I'll look around the room during the Sunday service and I'll start assigning targets to people. Ah, this one about patience, it's surely about my uncle. This one's about gossip, surely it's for this church auntie. This one is about obedience, surely it's for my cousins who have been misbehaving lately. Maybe it's those kids at the back who aren't listening. And growing up, I became an absolute master of hearing sermons for other people. And it got to the point where my dad was so frustrated one Sunday afternoon and my mom finally had enough and she doesn't talk much. And she said, "Ben, today's sermon was for you. Be quiet, listen, and do what it says." Now, I was a bit taken back as a young teenager, but I remember that night I had a lot of reflecting to do. As I thought about this story, I can't help but think, if we're all honest with ourselves, we love hearing and applying stories for others. Why is that the case? Well, innate in us, we are wired to see others more clearly than we see ourselves. It keeps us comfortable and in control when we can diagnose the condition of someone else's heart rather than the condition of our own heart. We do it in every aspect of life. That weight loss ad was for so-and-so. That program is better suited for my neighbor. This story in the Bible clearly needs to be heard by my auntie. This sermon is for my husband who needs to practice more patience. This message is for my wife who constantly nags me. Naturally, we just love to judge others over ourselves. This morning, we come to a very famous story and a familiar passage in Matthew 13. For those who grew up at church, you know Matthew 13 talks about the parable of the sower. The man who sows seeds, and depending on where it lands, each seed has a different response. And so this story, every time it's preached or we read, it's almost instinctive for us to categorize that, hey, so-and-so, my neighbor, is that hard-hearted person. That newcomer or that young adult is that shallow ground. That person who at church who's always distracted, he's the one who's getting choked up with the worries of the world. And all the while, as we categorize each person, we subtly excuse ourselves. These parables are not really about me. It's about someone else who needs it more. But what if we've been approaching this parable the wrong way all along? Because before this parable is about anyone else's heart, it's about your heart. It's about my heart. You see, Jesus isn't inviting us to become soil inspectors of people's lives, but he's rather calling us to cultivate the soil of our own hearts. Because the truth is, the condition of our soil determines everything. It determines whether the word just sits on the surface, quickly disappears, gets choked out, or actually takes root and bears fruit and leads us forward to mission. Here's the challenge. If our hearts aren't being cultivated, if the soil is hard, shallow, or crowded, then we won't only struggle to receive the word of God every Sunday morning, we'll also struggle to reach the very people we think this message is actually for. So today, as we look at this parable, I want you guys to think, to resist the urge to think about someone else's heart. Instead, ask the harder question. What kind of soil is my heart right now? In this time and space, in this season of my life, what kind of soil is my heart right now? So let's read Matthew 13. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 13, 1 to 23. Matthew chapter 13, 1 to 23. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil, with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and it produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. Now his disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to people?" Well, he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." And that is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills a prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." Now listen to this explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or have persecuted for believing God's word. The seed fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, here's what's happening. We're halfway through the Gospel of Matthew, and this is actually the first place in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus introduced parables. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Parables of Jesus weren't cute illustrations or analogies. They weren't feel-good stories. But parables of Jesus were designed to do something deeper, to reveal the truth of God's kingdom, but also at the same time, conceal the truth of God's kingdom. So hearing a parable back in those days was not that simple. You had to listen, you had to walk away, you had to wrestle with the parable, reflect on it, and then most importantly, you had to respond to the parable. It's unlike many stories that we hear today, maybe from our colleagues or from our friends. Often these stories come in one ear and go out the other. But parables by Jesus made people go away and reflect and search their own hearts. Now, why would Jesus talk in parables? Well, the answer is that masses of people had rejected Jesus at this point, and therefore they could not understand the deeper things that he now needed to reveal about the kingdom of God. This was also to fulfill an important prophecy in the book of Isaiah that there are some who are going to hear, but will not be able to understand. However, the disciples who gave up everything to follow Jesus, they had begun to believe on him and look to him for his teaching. Therefore, he taught lessons in parables, and then they had the beauty and the privilege to hear these parables explained to them. And so we read that Jesus gets into a boat while the crowd remains on the shore. Now, on the surface, this is just practical. It gives Jesus space to teach. But symbolically, something deeper is happening. There's actually a distance between Jesus and the crowd. Within that space, we see two groups of people begin to form. Those who are simply listening and those who are truly following Jesus. Those who are on the outside and those who are leaning in. And so this parable starts to, that's taught by Jesus goes like this. Let's look at verse 1 to 9 again from Matthew 13. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen carefully. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath. The birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Verse 9, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Jesus tells a story about a sower scattering seed. If we're honest, we actually see this as the parable of the sower, but the story isn't really about the sower. The story is about the soil. The four type of soils, four type of hearts. That's what I want to focus in on this morning. So we look at verse 4, the hardened heart, the hard soil. The first seed falls on this rocky path. It's a hard ground. It never gets in. Birds come and take away it immediately. Here it refers to Satan as the evil one that is quick to take away this seed. And we see here there are two kingdoms fighting for the affections of our souls, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of evil. Jesus says this is the person who hears God's word, but it never penetrates into their heart. There's no reflection, no understanding, no response. This person has been standing away from Jesus from a distance. They hear the word and they are hard towards the message. And the harder they become towards the message, the more Satan comes and swoops at the message. Second, the shallow heart. It's the rocky soil. The second seeds fall on rocky ground. It springs up quickly. There's excitement. There's enthusiasm. There's an immediate response to the message, but there's no deep roots. So when the heat comes, when life gets tough, when joy is gone, persecution arrives, the seed withers away. This faith is like the morning dew, the early dew that disappears as fast as it came. Third, the divided heart. It's a thorny soil. The third seed falls among thorns. This one, surprisingly, actually grows. It survives, but it never produces fruit. Why? Because it's competing. Jesus says the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke up the word. This is a divided heart. One foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world. Now, if you remember the story of King Herod, his story provides an example of someone who hears the word gladly, but who had greater concern to preserve his own wealth and honor. We are often like that. We want Jesus, but we also want control, comfort, success, and security. And slowly over time, not all at once, the things of this world begin to choke out what God is trying to grow in our hearts. The fourth soil, it's a productive heart. It's a good soil. Jesus says, this is the one who hears the word, they understand the word, and it immediately produces crop. Here's how Jesus defines understanding. It produces fruit. This is imagery of bountiful fruit in every season in this person's life, because when the word gets planted in his heart, immediately there's fruit. This reminds me of Psalms 1. When the psalmist talks about those who delight in the law of God, they are like a tree planted by the streams of water which yields its fruit in every season. The soil is so good that when the word comes, it welcomes the word immediately so that it cannot be snatched away by the evil one. It welcomes it so deeply so that it's not withered by suffering or persecution. It welcomes it so exclusively so that other concerns do not strangle it out. And over time, it just keeps on producing fruit. Here's what Jesus wants us to see. The seed is the same in every case. The word is the same. The message of the gospel is the same, that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins and to give us eternal life. The difference here is the soil. Some don't understand. The enemy comes and takes it away. Some receive it so quickly but fall away when life gets hard. Some hold on to it, but their lives are too crowded by the riches of this world and they bear no fruit. And those who hear understand and produce much fruit going forward. So as we sit here this morning hearing the same word, the same truth, the same message, Jesus isn't asking, did you hear it? But rather Jesus, I believe, is asking, what kind of soil are you bringing to the table? Because the condition of your heart will always determine the growth of your life. So if the problem isn't the seed, but the soil, then the real question becomes, can our hearts actually change? Can our hearts actually change? Well, first we must recognize that the seed is good. The word of God is always pure and always right and always true. But the issue is the soil of our hearts. We have to start here, friends. This reframes everything. Jesus makes it clear the problem is not the seed. It's not the message. It's not the preacher. It's not the timing. It's not the community that we're part of. We can often blame those things. It's easy to not take responsibility over the matters of our own heart. We blame that pastor, we blame that preacher, the timing of things in our lives. But the issue at hand is the condition of our own hearts. The moment we start to see that, the focus starts to shift from out there to in here, what God is doing. Because if we don't establish the condition of our hearts, if we don't tend to the condition of our hearts, no matter who comes later on, no matter who shares the message, no matter which Sunday school teacher teaches, nothing changes. God is always speaking through his word. The question is whether our hearts are ready to receive it. Good soil is cultivated. It's not accidental. Good soil doesn't happen by accident. It's cultivated over a period of time. If any of you tend to your gardens, if you work with soil, you know it takes time and effort. Growing up, I used to watch my dad spend hours, even days, weekends, just breaking up hard ground in the garden, digging, turning it, watering it, working the soil until it was ready. In the same way, God works on our hearts, digging out those hard places, turning those areas that we need to change, watering us so that we can grow soft and nice, working through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and around us. And from our end, we need to realize a few points this morning. The first point I want to talk about is this. God breaks before he builds. God breaks before he builds. Before anything grows, the ground must be broken. God digs deep. When we come and encounter God, he exposes our sin. Just like Isaiah, when he sees the holiness of God, he says, I am so unrighteous. God exposes the sin. He comes and takes those old patterns and he exposes them before us. It's uncomfortable, but it's very necessary. It's going to hurt when we are exposed. We have so much pride that it's hard to repent and be broken before the Lord. We try and justify, well, it's not my fault. No one likes to be exposed. We don't like to admit it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, we need to be okay with his work in our lives. We need to be willing to be broken before the Lord and just cry out, Lord, I need you. I'm willing to be broken. I'm willing for these old patterns in my life, these previous sins in the generations of my family to be completely crushed and out of the picture. In the Bible, God rarely builds on untouched ground. Let me say that again. In the Bible, God rarely builds on untouched ground. He digs deep first. Joseph had a pit. Moses had wilderness. David had caves. Peter had failure. Paul had blindness. Because God doesn't build on pride. He builds on hearts that are surrendered. And then from that point, we can start uprooting what's killing your growth. Second point, uprooting what's killing your growth. Farmers pull out weeds because they compete with the crop. God does the same. Each and every morning, he reveals those distractions that we have in our lives. He often calls our divided loyalties through the power of the Holy Spirit pointing to us. What's taking our loyalty away from Jesus? He often asks us to let go of what's choking our spiritual growth. What you don't remove will eventually take over. That toxic relationship. That group of friends that are doing you no good. Maybe it's that business partner. Maybe it's that show that you're watching. If we aren't willing to remove those things from our life, eventually those very things that we enjoy will choke us out. Whenever we hear a Sunday message, whenever we come to Sunday school, whatever it may be, we'll never grow. Why? Because those things we still hold tightly in our lives. If we're willing to uproot what's killing our growth, then from there, we can start loosening the soil of our hearts. Third point, loosening the soil of our hearts. Cultivating, working the soil allows air and water to reach deeper layers. Spiritually, this is about becoming receptive again. Asking God each and every morning to loosen our hearts. For those of you who have been a Christian for a long time or served as in a church for a long period of time, that's the one thing that we need again. For our hearts to be softened before the Lord. For our hearts to be soft and receptive to what he's saying. Our hearts can often get so hard over time, maybe due to suffering, misunderstanding, due to past pain. Our hearts over time become so hard. But what we need is to slow down, listen to God, find those places of solitude to loosen the soils of our hearts. A soft heart is a receptive heart. So this morning, as we wrap up this parable of the soil and examine the type of soils, the question isn't whether you've heard the word. The question that we have to ask ourselves this morning, what kind of heart are you cultivating daily? Because the same word every week is being sown into all our lives, week in, week out. But there's only one kind of heart that produces much fruit. And as I invite the worship team to come on, I was reminded of this just a few days ago. This week, I ran into one of our church ladies at Costco. And the moment that she saw me, she lit up. Not because she saw me, right? But because she had something she needed to share. And she started to tell me about her garden. And for the past 3 years, she said, Ben, nothing was growing. No fruit, no harvest. All this effort, no result. And you could hear it in her voice, the frustration, maybe even a little discouragement. They tried everything. Oh, tried watering more, adjusting what they planted, but nothing changed. Until recently, they brought in someone who understood good soil. And after taking a look, this person simply said, you need to change everything. The problem isn't your plants, it's your soil. And so this family, they replaced their whole soil and they brought in fresh topsoil. And so she looked at me and said, now everything is growing. At our house, there's peaches, there's blueberries, there's tomatoes, fruit everywhere. And as she was talking, she couldn't contain her joy. It was like something had come alive again in her heart. Maybe it's middle age crisis, I don't know. But I stood there listening. I thought, maybe that's what exactly Jesus is saying in this parable. The issue isn't the seed, It's the soil of our hearts. Maybe that's where some of us are at today. Maybe we've been showing up. We've been reading the word. We've been trying, but if we're honest, there's no fruit. Deep down, we're wondering, what's wrong with me? But hear this morning. Your story doesn't end there. Because ultimately, you are not the gardener. God is. God is the ultimate gardener who knows how to break up those hard places in our hearts, who goes deeper than shallow roots, who gently removes those things that are choking our lives, because He is the ultimate one that brings in fresh topsoil. So today isn't about trying harder, it's about opening up our hearts. It's about letting Him go deep, do that quiet work beneath the surface. So the invitation this morning is simple. Will you open up your heart? Will you respond to His word? And let Him cultivate something new in you. Because at the end of the day, your heart shapes your growth. And your growth shapes your mission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the parable of the sower. We thank You that in this parable, You show us the type of soils that we have. Lord, would You cultivate in us a good type of soil, a fresh topsoil, where we are receptive to the work of Your Holy Spirit, where we are receptive and soft toward the power of Your word. Lord, maybe there are things that are choking us up, the distractions of life, the lures of wealth, the temptations of being prideful. Maybe, Lord, we have these hidden sins that no one knows about, and it's making us hard over time, that we've lost perspective. Oh Lord, would You come and do that mighty work in us once again to dig out those old patterns of sin, to come and turn away, to help us turn away from those behaviors and to help us be soft again to what You may be saying. Lord, the problem is not with the seed. Your word is beautiful. Your word is so pure. The problem is with us. So Lord, would You cultivate in all of us this morning a soft and receptive heart to receive You once again. Lord, for some of us, our hearts have been so hardened, maybe because we've been at church too long. Maybe we've served way too much. Oh Lord, would You once again just loosen our hearts. Loosen our hearts to what You may be saying to us. So that Lord, we live a life filled with purpose and joy. Lord, we thank You, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's stand, let's respond in worship.